Hello and good day, everyone. This is Kevin Finkel here with another episode of Magic, the First Pioneers. It's a podcast where we talk all about the Pioneer format, keeping our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer.
And my name is Ryan Schwenk. I am the Cardboard Samurai out of Yokohama, Japan.
All right. So we have had 1 week that we've been looking at these cards, and it's already an interesting set, Ikoria. So this is going to be... Oh, yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, there hasn't been a lot of play recently just because everyone's stuck at home, so...
Yeah, I've noticed it's slow. You know, I'm a little worried. I feel like people are slow to really get deep on Pioneer. I've seen a lot more people going, brewing up what's new on Standard. And I hope people are still, you know, the format's certainly not solved. Even if nothing changes, if no bans come out, I think there's still some decks that can make some changes here, make some waves. And I'm interested to see what happens.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a slow burn for Pioneer this season. I think people are going to get into to Standard like the first month or so, and they'll get bored of it because everyone's stuck at home playing online, and then everyone will get into Pioneer. Yep. So the last 2 months of this format will get lots of good brews.
Yeah, and I think we're just at an unfortunate place where Arena is a better is a better model than Modo. So the fact that we can't play Pioneer on a Modo on MTG Arena is unfortunate.
Yeah, it's not accessible.
So Standard's got a leg up there. Yep. All right, so what we kind of just wanted to do is look at a couple of what we've been looking at, some early brews, what we've been looking at, some early impact, kind of just talk some big cards if you've got anything crazy.
I mean, did you want to talk about like what we've seen so far? Did you want to talk about our own brews? What did you feel like talking about first?
I mean, initial reaction. Give me the high level.
I mean, as far as like what I've been hearing buzz-wise, you know, online, it sounds like Garuda's busted.
Okay, that's interesting, because I definitely have a Garuda deck. You know, I've been playing with that one pretty much since the beginning. Some people online on our Pioneer Discord has some good lists that are coming out of there, and it looks like other people have picked up on it. Definitely interested in that. I was going to go broader and just kind of say that... So the kind of way I've been describing Ikoria is mutate bad, companion good, as far as what's powerful. You know, mutate, I just don't think it lived up to any of my expectations, and they were, you know, they were already... Like in our set review episode, I was kind of saying, like, I'm hesitant. These seem like they have power, but I need to see how they actually play out. And with my testing, they haven't played out to be anything that blows my mind.
I mean, when we did our review, I mean, we talked a lot about, you know, for example, like you said, how many companions we'll see play. You said over under 3 to 4,
yeah,
right?
I think I was saying, like, yeah, like 2.5, 3.5. And I think whatever we said is probably too low. I'm going to go higher. You know, I was already on the whatever I said is higher. But, I mean, I think across multiple formats, it's going to be like 6 or 7.
Yeah. But in Pioneer?
Pioneer, I think we could hit 3, 4.
Yeah.
I mean, do you have any definite ones you want to say, or this will definitely see play? Because I could probably name, you know.
Well, Lurrus is another one.
I didn't quite go to the point where I made a deck for every companion, but I'm almost there. You know, the green-black one might be the... I've got a Lutri one. I've got a couple ways I was trying to build Lutri.
Now, Lurrus seems like it's showing up in a lot of stuff, though. The cat, the 3/2 that brings stuff back every turn for that's 1 or 2 mana?
Yes, that's a very interesting card, and I think it's powerful. I think that it could see play... do you like it more as a companion or more as a card in the 60 deck?
I like it more as a card in the 60.
That's kind of where I've ended up as well. I think, you know, certainly in older formats, it's going to be pretty busto because you can bring back 0-mana artifacts, a lot of things that are going to be just very, very good legacy modern. In Pioneer, I think that there are some builds, you know. So I saw, if you've watched the Versus Live series, they had a Lurrus deck that was Scales. I thought that was a really cool deck.
Yeah, I saw some people playing with that in there. And that just gives Scales the, how can I say, the long game that it's kind of been lacking.
A little bit. It's certainly, you know, it's a burst of power. An 8th card is just so unbelievably powerful, especially a guaranteed one. And the fact that it can bring back so many of the important cards is really big. They lost Nissa from it. They lost, you know, you can't play Rishkar. But in exchange, what it really means is that you don't want to be building it with elves as your base. You want to be building it with, you know, more 1-mana plays being a
your Hardened Scales and your Whiting Constrictor. Yeah, but then you get back, like, your Ballistas and all this other fun stuff, so...
True. I mean, that's really a deck built around a lot of 2-drops, so it makes sense.
So do you want to jump into this? Do you want to talk about some cool brews that we've seen online so far?
I wouldn't mind going deeper on companions, as long as, like, that's going to be a big theme for me, is just how good the companions are. So, okay, that's Black-White, that's one of them.
Yeah, like, Luris actually was seeing play in Modern Merfolk, I heard. They were calling it Lurfolk.
That's fun. Are they currently at all in blue or black? Or white or black, sorry?
White or black? I think it's like the blue-white Merfolk, maybe? Or no, it was blue-black. It was blue-black, I think. They splashed black for it.
I'd seen some really cool, I think, Jund lists in Modern, and that seems really crazy.
Yeah.
But
if you want to talk more about companions, you know, be my guest. I only really saw Garuda and Luris decks so far.
Yeah, Garuda's where I was going to go next. And, you know, I did link you a list. I think that other people have seen the same thing. And the idea really here is that you're making a deck where you play Garuda and you win the game on the spot, for the most part. So you always have it. You can't be thought seized away. They can't even often Lost Legacy out Garuda just because of how difficult it is to remove it from the sideboard slot. So you play Garuda, and then you find a clone, usually, is what you do. So you find either another copy of Garuda or another thing that'll copy Garuda, and then that gets the enter the battlefield effect, and you do it again and again and again and again. And you can either win, you can either mill them out, or you can find Dragonlord Kolaghan, and then you can attack with a bunch of these Garudas, because Spark Double actually makes them non-legendary.
Yeah.
Or you can find Thassa's Oracle, and if you've already gotten your deck low enough, then you'll just win on that spot.
Busted.
Yeah, so, and you know, it just plays, it plays a lot of 2-mana accelerants, and then it plays a lot of its 4-mana cards, including its clones, can just copy your mono creature. So you've got a 2-mana accelerant into a 4-mana accelerant into turn 4 win.
So does it feel like Pioneer's becoming more of a combo-centric format now?
I'm concerned. So, you know, the fact that this is such a hard combo to hate, there's not a lot of things that stop it other than, you know, counter spells, some weird hate bears. That's really interesting. On the other hand, the speed and the power level of the deck isn't insane. You know, it's not a very guaranteed win if you do hit it, and it's not guaranteed you get it on turn 4. You know, there's definitely some variability right now that makes me think it might be fair, but if it does start to see play, you know, when people get the time to put the numbers up to test this thousands of times, we'll see if it's absurd or not.
Right, and that's, now, I'm saying it's probably safe.
Yeah,
like I said, because not a lot of people are playing in paper or online. So what other companions?
I think in Legacy it might either get banned or it'll get LED banned, which will be interesting. But
Mind's Eye Diamond, yeah, I think I saw that in one of the other Legacy decks. People are already talking about how bad it is. But we're a Pioneer podcast, so let's talk about Pioneer. Yeah,
we're just Pioneer.
Yeah. what other companions?
All right, so I've been trying a bunch of them. Do you have a next one that you would say is the best?
I mean, I have seen the black red 5-mana one in like
Seen some play.
He's in like world decks. Yeah,
I'm feeling pretty justified on that one because I'm like, man, this one's crazy, and people are like, this one seems weak. It's one of the weaker ones. You know, it's funny because both the even and the odd one, I think both were a little bit written off and are immediately now seeing some play. Yeah, so I've seen it in like a green red gruel first of all. I actually, this is probably the list I've been testing with the most and that I've had the most success with is mono red. And I kind of called it early on. I think I'd even had a draft version of the list that I sent you guys during our set review.
Mono with red Albash?
Is insane with Albash. So if you look at the lists I linked here, it's like the third one down on my list. You know, you just have a lot of really good one drops. You've got all of your good spells are one or they're three, because like Wizard Lightning is three, but it's really a 1-mana spell. But if the stage is 3, it's actually 1. Skewer the Critic's 3 is actual 1. Bone Crusher Giant is real glue there because it's a 3 that's actually a 2. So you can just play all the spells you wanted to play anyways and be a more kind of prowess spells version of the list rather than being, you know, the red versions were kind of more creature-y recently. And just having Obosh as a top end is insane.
So what was I going to say? What does this kind of take the place of? That dwarf guy? What's his name?
Yeah, Torbran. I think that's a reasonable replacement.
Okay.
And, you know, what it's taking the place of is all of the games where you just drew 5 lands and you flooded out because you're a mono red deck.
Could this, I wonder if he could actually bring back Chonky Red, because you got your Glory Bringer at 5 mana and you have, you know, your Chain Whirler is what, 3 mana. Could it make it good again?
Bone Crusher is good at three. You know, you'd lose Chandra. I think that that's a bigger loss from that deck. That's the first one that comes to mind. You know, that's possible. I think if I was doing that, I wouldn't hate splashing a second color. But what is nice about with these companions, and I think with that deck in particular, is that if you're playing something like a chunky red, a chunky black, you can really go overboard on utility lands. You know, you can play the Mute Vaults, the Ramanup Ruins, the Castle Embereths. If you're in the black version, you've got those utility lands as well. And, you know, if you're replacing a spell with them, sometimes that's not great. But if you've got a top end like Obosh that's kind of a freebie if you do flood out, then it lets you play more lands, be more consistent, and not have all those games where you just lose because you flooded.
Yeah. So tell me more about these other companions. What other ones have you been brewing all right. with?
So I've definitely been brewing too much with one of them here. Is what is the cat elemental nightmare?
The green-white one?
Yeah, the green-white one. Kahira the Orphan Guard. So, you know, I tried cats early on. I thought it was interesting. You know, I'd said it during our set review. I was like, man, we've got 2/3/3 cats on two. So we've got the Bronzehide Lion. We've got Fleeceman Lion. So you can literally always go turn 2/3/3, turn 4, swing it for 4 with Vigilance. That was cool. Yeah, it was in green-white. You know, it just kind of lacked the interaction to beat a lot of the top decks in the format. With the first list I posted, if you're looking at what we were kind of sharing, I actually have an Abzan version that has Kahira as a sideboard card, or as a companion. And, you know, there's a lot of cards that are not just cats, but are other... you know, beasts or elementals or so I've got Voice of Resurgence, I've got Cauldron Familiar with Witch's Oven, I've got the new Fiend Artisan, who other than this list has kind of underperformed for me. You know, I think that I oversold that card.
I mean, I've heard some people playing it like in sacrifice decks, like black red sacrifice, to kind of get powerful effects that way, and also to give you like a free sac outlet as well. But
yeah, I think my overall is that it's definitely, the body feels a lot weaker than I thought it was. I was like, man, this thing's going to get really big really fast. It does not feel like Tarmogoyf, which is what I thought it would be originally.
Yeah.
And the ability's good, but in the kind of decks that play it, just hasn't come up as being that powerful yet.
Yeah. I like this idea, though. I see Questing Beast is in there as well, which is really
Questing
cool.
Questing Beast, you've got Lovestruck Beast, who, you know, he makes these little creatures for your sacrifice part of the deck, and he's a big guy just for being a good body. Lurus is insane as a target to find with Fiend Artisan. You know, that's also a cat and something else. So kind of grindy, kind of a lot of sacrifice elements, and it works. This one's been working okay for me.
I see that you have Kahira in the main board as well as the sideboard. Now, how does that work?
I do. So you're allowed to. You know, Kahira's, as long as it's a cat elemental, what is it, nightmare, beast, or... what's the fifth one that I'm forgetting?
So Nightmare Dinosaur Elemental Cat Beast.
Yes, that's the last one. So I'm not sure if I have any dinosaurs in the main deck. I know I was looking at some as an option for the sideboard.
No, but I'm saying, like, how does that work? I mean, can you still use it as a companion even though you have two in the main board, or?
Yes, you can.
All right.
So, like, the Garuda deck runs 3 in the main board and then the 1 in the sideboard, which is your companion.
I still have no idea how companion works. I haven't played against it at all.
I'm happy to answer questions. I feel like I've got most of the mechanics of this set, although the Mutate was a mistake.
Any other good companions?
All right. Yeah, you know, I am not done. I mean, I don't know if you wanted to jump in here with any other decks.
It's fine. Go through your brews, because, you know, I didn't even consider, you know, making companion decks. I haven't even touched them. So what else do you think is playable?
I've got a Bring to Light Niv-Mizzet deck here. And, you know, early on people were kind of like, oh, hey, you can play the Gigantha, the one that, like, taps for 5 mana, thinking about that as being an option. I didn't go that way. I didn't want to lose the sweeper. What is it called?
But I was going to say the hybrid mana counts as a hit, right? It's a color pair?
Yeah, so he counts as green-red if you've got him in the main deck, which I actually do have one in this deck. But what I'm saying here is that I didn't go with Gigantha as my sideboard. I went with Yori and the Sky Nomad.
Is that the flying one?
Yes, that's a flying one that requires your deck to be 80 cards here. So if you see, this is a overall 95 card Niv-Mizzet list. And it's kind of cool, you know. I think I was hyping this up maybe during the podcast as being like, hey, this seems like a good option. You're already searching through your deck so much anyways. You've got some kind of one-offs that are only wanting to be found when you need them. So burying them in 80 cards is actually kind of cool. And this way I can still play things like Tulsimir. I can play things like Supreme Verdict that have that double mana that I didn't want to lose.
Looks like an EDH deck.
You know, it looks like it, but it doesn't hurt the consistency too much. You know, this is one that people have been playing in Modern, is the Urien, and yeah, it's pretty cool in the deck. Mm-hmm. Like the card can be good when you get an extra. You know, you can swing with Niv-Mizzet and then bounce him for another trigger on that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm scared of this new format, to be honest.
Oh, it's fun. It's fun stuff. Let me see if I have any other companions. You know, I've been trying pretty much all the companions. I almost wanted to come out and be like, here's a companion for, or here's a deck for every single companion. The green-black one, I think, is still probably the toughest to find a viable reason to build your deck around him. I've tried a couple Lutri builds. I haven't gotten anything successful yet, but if I get something, I'll come back to you guys on that. Yeah. What are we missing?
The other one, you did Urien. I think that's all of them. Karuga?
Which one's Karuga? Yeah, their names are very similar.
The one with three or higher converted mana cost for your cards.
You know what? That one I'll definitely see play in Standard. I haven't built Fires in Pioneer yet for this format. I expect we'll still try them in there.
Yeah, I can see that. And Zerda? Did you talk about Zerda? The
activated ability? Zerda's another one I'm struggling with to find a spot for. Because I think you don't really want to be just playing them in a fair application. You kind of want something unfair, and I'm not sure if Pioneer has that. I have seen some infinite combos, but they're not great.
I mean, it seems like maybe that could be something in mono whites. You know, make everything cheaper, right? So make your Heliod effect cheaper. You make your Ballista effect cheaper, right? To add another counter, right?
Yeah, that's true. So let me think. Like, if you've got Zerda in play, what does it cost to play the whole combo from your hand? You know,
it's two less. To go from, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you only need one mana from Heliod, because he's three mana, or no, it's two mana, right?
That's true.
It's two mana.
It's one and a white, so yeah, that saves you one there. Maybe if you've got like a Ballista on two, Zerda on three, yeah, that still doesn't quite work, but something like that, maybe.
All right, well, do you want to talk more about our other brews now? There was a couple more that I wanted to talk about as far as the ones that I've seen online. I talked during our set review about the new Perspectives card that I thought might see play, and they just posted something on TCG Player. I don't know if you saw this link, but I posted that.
You pop that
for
open
us to take a look. So it's basically just tons and tons and tons of cycling cards, and you win just like you would win with Lotus Field. Except that you're using, you're going to win with Thassa's Oracle, but you just overload on cycling. So as soon as you get out, or as soon as you ramp into the new Perspectives, if people can't remember, it's the 6-mana enchantment, and when it enters the battlefield, you draw 3 cards, and then if you have 7 or more cards in your hand, you can pay 0 rather than pay cycling costs. So everything in this deck has cycling, and you just basically draw your whole deck. And then
good with it is Shadow of the Grave. That's a 2-mana instant that returns all cards in your graveyard that you cycled or discarded this turn to your hand. So when you do this, you can get back like multiple Viziers. You can get back just a ton of cards and go through really your whole deck that way.
I mean, do you remember playing against this deck at all when it was in Standard?
I played some of New Perspectives. I do like it. I'm looking at this list right here. I do kind of wish, I think if I were playing this, that I'd kind of want... I think my biggest worries is, like, if I'm going to play, a 6-mana sorcery speed combo deck, I think I'm going to go with Garuda right now, just because that seems like the new hotness, but certainly interesting.
It's different.
Yeah.
But that was one deck that I thought was kind of cool, and I guess you talked a little bit about Garuda already. I don't know if you saw this one that was posted from, like, a Japanese player. I have that in our list as well, so...
I'll take a look at that, too, right now.
And basically, like you said, it uses Garuda plus cards like Spark Double, but it's playing every clone effect imaginable. It's playing Clever Impersonator, Visor of the Mini, Progenitor Mimic, Altered Ego. So basically, you just keep on hitting all your, how could I say, your clones, and you keep on making Garuda, making Garuda, making Garuda.
And yeah, then, I think I've seen this list. I like a little bit more ramp, I think, but this one's pretty good. And I do like this one, and some others have gone to playing like Thought Not Seer in the sideboard, which I think is a good addition.
Yeah. So that's interesting. I thought, I mean, I do not want to face that kind of deck at all.
It's not too crazy. Just put a pressure on them so you can kill them before turn four and you're fine.
Yeah. Were there any other decks that you thought might be a, you know, we want to shout out or we want to talk about real quick before we jump into our own brews?
Most of what I've been talking about, Maury, is my own brews, I guess. Maybe I should have been talking more about what I've seen online or otherwise. I can dig into some other things that I've seen, but yeah, if you got anything else, go for it.
On this other link that I posted for AetherHub.com, they had some cool brews. They were talking about the Luminous Broodmoth combo, which I kind of talked about, you know, on the set review podcast. I'd really like to get this to work. I mean, they're basically, I guess it's more like Aristocrats. It seems a little bit slow. They got Priest of Forgotten Gods in there, Cruel Celebrant, you know, Nightmare Reaper, and they got Luminous Broodmoth as like your win condition. You just keep bringing stuff back, keep sacking it to like Woe Strider and winning that way. They have the Obosh Rakdos, like we just talked about, which I think is kind of like a black-red sacrifice.
Interesting. So Mayhem Devil, I'm assuming, is a big part of that?
Yeah. So that's kind of cool. Gruul Obosh, like we talked about. Tamir, Song of Creation. I've seen a couple of these decks. You were talking about Song of Creation back during the set review, right?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting card. I think that it could have some potential, and I think it's something that a few people have been brewing with. I've seen like you know, people trying to go deep with it. I don't know how crazy it is, but it's definitely interesting.
Abzan Graveyard's another one they were talking about. We kind of talked about
that. Oh, I know a couple more good combo decks that I've seen that we can kind of talk about is a couple of the, you know, there's a cycle of Mythic Humans, and I think all of them are doing a little better than I thought, maybe. You know, I think the one I thought the most of was the black-white one, which I'll definitely get to, but I've seen some Kinnan decks that are interesting to me.
What's Kinnan again?
So Kinnan is the blue-green one, the 2/2, that when you tap an online permanent for mana, it adds an additional color of that type. So people are kind of using it similar to how we abuse Leyline of Abundance and just going crazy on you know, effects that blow up mana. And I think that's pretty cool to me. Like, I've seen some decks that can win off that pretty quickly.
What kind of decks would win off that?
Let me see if I've got a list for you, because I don't know if I shared one. But I'm going to just punch in where I'd seen some stuff about Kinnan. I'm interested to see what that looks like. Maybe I'll get back on that one. Do you want to talk, meanwhile, about the red-white one? Because that one is so crazy. And we kind of joked about it being like, this seems possible.
The Winota one?
Actually shown up. Yeah, Winota.
Yeah, I mean, you guys kind of like talked me down. You're like, no, it's not going to be good and blah, blah, blah. But a lot of people are saying it's busted. And I guess like in Standard, they're playing with it right now. I'm not sure if they've been playing with it in Pioneer.
I don't know if I would say busted, but it definitely can blow up and do some good things.
I mean, that's one of my brews today. If you want to just jump into, you know, our own brews.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and let me look at your brew specifically and see what I've seen versus that. Compared to what else is good?
So my first brew is called Burrows Buddies.
Okay.
And basically I tried to make a Burrows deck that, you know, kind of centered around a balance between good humans and good non-human cards. So just to refresh everyone's memory, Winota, Joiner of Forces, 4 mana, 4/4. And when you attack, sorry, whenever a non-human creature you control attacks, you look at the top 6 cards of your library, and you put a human creature card from among them onto the battlefield tapped and attacking. And it gains indestructible until end of turn, which is something I kind of didn't notice the first time, which is great. And then put the rest of the cards on the bottom of your library in random order. And I talked about this a little bit. I'm like, well, this would be really good with Goblin Rabble Master. So my deck, of course, has like Goblin Rabble Master in there. So you just keep on throwing out tokens, and those tokens would activate Winota. So you would, you know, keep on putting a human into play. So I got that. I got Bone Crusher Giants, I think is a good card to have overall in a red deck. I have Earthshaker Kenra, which makes, you know, really hard for your opponent to to block early on, as well as, you know, being a haste effect, so you get that trigger right away. And then Legion Loyalist. So I've been doing a lot of research. It sounds like with Battalion, especially like Legion Loyalist, if you have Legion Loyalist in play with a Winota and you both attack, or if you have two creatures that are attacking, the trigger would go into effect first, putting that into play, and then you could stack it so that the Battalion would happen.
I'm going to go ahead and say no on that. So it says when at least it and at least two other creatures attack.
Okay, so it would just
not
two,
put the trigger on the stack unless if... So the ones that are put into play attacking did not attack, so they would not count as having
So it wouldn't happen. But still, it's good to have it for the haste effect, I think. And if you're flooding the board, it's going to be a good card to have, I believe. So the effects, the humans that I have in this deck, I have Knight of the White Orchid, to kind of ramp you up to that four mana as quickly as possible to put Winota into play. I have Banalish Marshall, kind of like a surprise effect. All my creatures get +1/+1. Nice. I have Thraven Inspector, just for the card advantage. And I also have Haktos, the Unscarred. I thought that would be kind of cool.
Fun.
So maybe they can't even block at all, you know, if you put him to play.
So what I've seen is, in my opinion, you're not going big enough. You're not going crazy enough. What I've liked from what I've seen from other people playing Winota is that they're just going absurdly high-end with their humans. They're figuring, hey, if I'm going to hit something, I should win the game with it.
Okay.
So the couple I've seen is, you know, Agent of Treachery is a human, so that's a 7-mana human.
So they're doing a blue, like a Jeskai build then.
Maybe. Also, I linked, you know, do you know Ingrass Marauders?
Yeah. Yeah, the 5-mana or 7-mana?
It's 7-mana 4/4, and whenever a sorcery you control deals damage to a permanent or player, it doubles that damage.
Sorcery or card?
It's a card. It's a 4/4 human.
But I mean, is it a sorcery? You said whenever a sorcery deals damage?
Any source.
Oh, any source. Okay.
Yes. So it doubles the damage of all of your attacking creatures. Mm-hmm. And if you hit two of these, it quadruples the damage of all your attacking creatures.
Nice. Yeah, I guess I always played a little too safe.
Yeah, so I like where you're going, but yeah, I think that if I'm going to play it, I'm going to go less safe. I want to be a little bit more unfair with it, and I'm okay with how crazy that can get.
I'm always worried that like I'll get those in my hand and then I can't cast them.
Yeah, I mean, it can happen, I suppose. You know, I was looking at it with some of the, like, you know, there's humans that make Thopters. I thought that would be interesting because then you can kind of, you know, you're playing a lot of humans, but you're also, so you've got a lot of hits, but you're also playing a lot of things that'll be triggers for Winota.
I wonder if there's any other kind of, how can I say, anthem effect that we could play, like sneaking it into play with like Banalish Marshall, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
but anyways,
Marshall's interesting, but that's you know, a lot of white.
That was my Winota deck. I think there's, like you said, you know, going big is a good way to kind of just get crazy with this deck right away. There's still a lot of Bruce base available with her. I mean, we could do something in you know, Naya or something like that, or any other, you know, red-black. So we could do, like, Mardu or whatever. I think there's a lot of open brew space with Winota. We have so much we can do to explore that. We could do, like, vampires, whatever. But anyways, did you have a brew, like, your own brew that you wanted to talk about now?
You know, I want to talk about a few human brews because I think that's still something I'm working on trying to get to make sense, because it seems like they just got some really good tools. So they just got, you know, General Kudrow, they just got his, what is his assistant, General's Enforcer, and Dire Tactics, all really good for white-black axe humans decks. I think I posted a list which was Abzan with Collected Company. That one has so far probably been the best I've seen.
I posted one as well, so let's talk about the differences between our Abzan human
decks. Let me pop yours open. Mine's the bottom one if you've looked at that. Let me see. So you've got Cheville. I was going to talk about him. He's the green-black one, and for me, he's been not amazing. I was excited about him, but he kind of underperformed when I tried him out. The one thing I'm excited about him with is with if you've got... he's really good with Dromoka's Command, but if you don't have that, it's okay.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure like what kind of removal to play. I don't know how this deck's gonna play. This is just I'm on paper, you know, what I wanna like make it. I made mine more as a Hero of Precinct 1 deck because that puts more humans into play.
Yes, and that's what I keep trying to do. I keep being like, all right, I'm going to start this list off for Hero Precinct 1, and then by the end, I'm like, you know, I don't have enough triggers for it. I'm going to take him out. He's just not doing it for me.
Yeah.
But I do like some of what you've got here.
Yeah, so I'll talk about mine. Yeah, I guess I'll talk about mine real quick. So yeah, I got Chevelle, Bane of the Monsters. I mean, just a 1 through Death Touch. Seems like a good blocker early on. I got General's Enforcer, which gives all my legendary humans indestructible. So basically, Chevelle never dies if this guy's in play. I have Shauna, Sissy's Legacy, just because you're putting a bunch of creatures into play. She's legendary, so she could be a XX that's huge, that's, you know, they can't deal with easily because she's can't be the target of abilities, and she's going to be indestructible. I also have Anafenza. Anafenza is a great three-color or multicolor legendary human card. General Kudra, of course, like we said, also in there. I thought Renegade Rallier would also be good in this deck. So what do you think?
So how do you trigger Renegade Rallier?
And you can sacrifice two humans with General Kudra. I mean, this would be like a late game thing. You bring back something that's one or two mana. So you bring back your Chevelle, your Recruiter. So I have a Duskrash Recruiter as a way to get more cards here. You can bring back your Enforcer, your Hero, your Shauna. You can bring back your Thalia's Lieutenant.
Interesting, yeah. I mean, it's tough to trigger. I liked Renegade Rallier when we had Fetchlands. It's a lot more difficult without them. I was doing something similar. You know, my list, I was going a little bit bigger. And that's kind of what I'd felt when I tried one that was more grindy. So I tried an Esper version that didn't have Collected Company. And, you know, I was able to play cool things like Jace. I was able to play cool things like, what is the 4-mana one that I can never remember the name of? Let me pop that deck open real quick.
4-mana human? What?
Yeah. Aatris, Oracle of Half-Truths, the 3/2 menace that, like, kind of does a factor fiction when it comes into play.
Oh, yeah, okay. I don't like you know, the Esper Cumble, decks that much.
I had Reflector Mage. What I kind of think you're missing is one drops, and that worries me a little bit.
Yeah, you have Thraven Inspector.
Yeah, Thraven Inspector is really big. And what I did like in that Esper deck that I didn't post the list to, but I was running Call of the Death Dweller there, and that was definitely the card that was overperforming by the most. You know, I could Call of the Death Dweller, bring back like Thraven Inspector plus like Thalia's Lieutenant, and then both of them get a counter because they see each other enter. You get a Death Touch counter on your 1/2, or it's a 2/3 Thraven Inspector with Death Touch, and the you know, put the menace on the other one. Like, kind of crazy.
I like that card in the non-green decks where you don't have access to like Collected Company.
Yeah. So it would be in a non-green version. So maybe I could see maybe I need to try black white and go all in on what is the card you're playing? Hero Precinct 1, because I think General Kudra has been awkward for me, because like, he seems like he'd be so good, but
if you're playing against mid range, right?
You kind of need the creatures. Like, you need like a bunch of little creatures, and that doesn't feel like, you know, if you right now you're playing a deck that doesn't have any one drops, so you don't have anything you really want to be sacrificing to Kudra. So I kind of wish
that's why I have Hero Precinct 1.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, if you're a Precinct 1.
Because those guys are sacrificial guys, basically.
Losing my mic here, sorry. Hope that wasn't too loud. Hope I'm still recording. Let me see here. Yep, just...
You good?
Okay. Yep, I'm good. Just mic fell. Yeah, that's interesting.
So, again, why did
Any
you choose...
Any other ways?
Oh, so, yeah. I was going to ask you, you did a Collected Company build. I'm trying out Lead the Stampede. I feel like you want to go as wide as possible. You want to get as many creatures on the board. And I'm not playing a lot of ETB effects, so I'd rather get quantity over quality. So why are you playing Coco?
You know, the speed matters. The fact that it's, you know, speed, it's also, you know, better mana efficiency. I'm not paying for the creatures that I'm playing. You are. That's a lot better on mana. Just getting the maximum amount of power on the board, I think, at once. Definitely mine's a little bit more of an aggressive deck. So as my 2-drop, I was playing Lamphole Pacifist. And I'm also running the 3-mana that we were just talking about? Benelish Marshall. So, you know, really going more aggressive. I've got Gideon in there.
Okay. Yeah, my deck's probably too fair. I can't think of unfair things. That's my weakness as a brewer. I can't think of broken. I want to give them a chance to win.
I can't play fair things. That's no fun.
Was there any other decks that you had that we didn't talk about yet? You talked about your companion decks already.
Yeah, you know, I've been doing a couple of like small upgrades here. I really like Mono Black with the new kill spell. What is that one called?
The Heartless
Act.
Yeah.
That's definitely one of our top cards of the set, if we haven't mentioned it, I think.
One thing I wanted to ask you is that, you know, you've played Kethis combo a lot, and I was wondering if any of these new cards are going to make their way in there, you know, for example, like Kudro or, the Enforcer or whatever.
Yes, so definitely looked at it. I think the one that's really going to make it the list is Lurus in some number in the main deck.
Mm-hmm.
None of the companions really work for the deck. You know, you can't run... the only one that was maybe close would be like running Gigantha, but you would have to lose basically your win cons, so you can't play Jace, you can't play Thassa's Oracle, you can't play Hangerback or Walking Ballista if you've got that one in the side and as your win con, so that didn't quite work. But Lurus, I think, should be in some number in the main deck, just because you get to bring back your cheap things, it lets you get back to your excavators, which is always the hardest thing they bring back, and you can also get Gurpur lock them with that, so that's always nice.
Yeah, that's the big thing, is I was wondering, like, the balance between humans and non-human legendaries. I mean, you want to protect Kethis, right?
Yeah, not really. I mean, he's okay. He's not,
not necessarily
like the end of the world if he dies, yeah.
Yeah. There's one more deck I brewed, if you want to take a quick look at it, before we jump into the last part here. So the last one I made was, like, a black-red sacrifice deck. Like, I've been trying to push Aristocrats forever, you know that. And I'm going more towards the, instead of critical mass, just value damage. So this is like basically black red sacrifice. I got the new serrated scorpion, which I talked about during the set review, the 1/2 that drains for 2 whenever it dies. That's really good value if you're trying to like get them down to 0 as fast as possible. I have Dreadhorde Butcher. Fast attacker, deals damage when it dies. I have Kroxa, just because it dies when it comes into play, and does damage, hopefully, or makes them discard. Mire Triton is just something to kind of put more stuff into the graveyard to be able to activate your Woe Strider, which is one of your sacrifice outlets, or Kroxa to get that back into play. Judith is in here. Lurus. Lurus, like you said, great card. I think this is something that you want to be playing in any kind of Aristocrats deck. But this is mainboard, not sideboard. And I got Yeheni as just another sacrifice outlet. And another card that we talked about a lot so far today was the Call of the Death Dweller. So this is something that I think is really going to help out these, they're not graveyard-centric, but they use graveyards as a resource.
Yeah, I really like it when you can get a 1-drop and a 2-drop, so kind of the things that are using those small creatures are the ones that are really exciting.
So basically what this deck wants to kind of hit quickly, and then they're going to block, or they're going to kill it, and then you get it back again, and you keep on doing that, and you keep on doing that, and you get all these triggers and whatnot. It just puts so much pressure, so much damage on your opponent.
All right, any decks that, are there any cards that you're still like, I'm still trying to brew with this, I haven't gotten it to work yet? Or like, you know the card's decent, you just haven't seen a spot for it yet?
You mean from the new set, or just like overall?
Yeah, from the new set.
Not really. I mean, if I thought it was playable, I probably brewed with it today.
Okay, I've got a few. You know, I haven't built Death Oasis anything yet. I think there's some power there. I like Riel, the Everwise. It's the 0/3 human. She seems really strong. I haven't gotten any of the Planeswalkers to work for me.
Either the Narset or the Vivian?
Or what's the last one?
Was there one more?
Luca? Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Luca. The red one.
And then I still want to build C-Dasher Octopus, because I know that card's going to fit in something, but I haven't built any small blue decks yet.
I'm surprised with the amount of testing you've done. I haven't had a chance to do any testing.
Yeah, I keep I keep jamming the same decks though too much, so I gotta branch out.
There's probably gonna be more cards. This is like we're week one right now.
Week two.
So yeah, probably if we come back to this topic in a week or two or a couple weeks, I'll probably have some cards that I'd want to talk about. But
in the meantime, if anyone's broken the decks, make sure to tell us.
Yeah.
Did you want to do anything more, or should I bring us to the wrap-up of our show?
Let's talk about... Let's make predictions. Top five breakout cards from this format. So this can be a card that came out in Ikoria, or something that kind of maybe got better because of Ikoria.
Oh, you make this tough. Okay.
Then your choice. If you want to just do five Ikoria cards that you think are going to break out, that's fine. But
So which five companions do I want to...
Really?
No, I don't think they'll all be companions. I think that maybe three of them will be.
So, yeah, what would be in your top five?
Lurus, uh-huh. Heartless Act.
Yep.
Those are probably my two right now. Let me keep going. Or if you want to jump in here, otherwise I'm thinking.
Garuda.
I think
Garuda would be top
shake
five.
Shake Garuda.
I mean, I just think it's going to be a good card. It's not going to be something that's going to be all over the format, but it'll be in that one deck, and that deck will be really good, I think. I think that Grafdigger's Cage is going to get better in this format.
That's interesting. You know, that is one that stops Garuda, which the other, Leyland of the Void and Rest in Peace do not stop him. So make sure you guys know that.
So I think just because of that, but also it also stops Lotus Breach. When they breach everything back, they can't bring it back from the graveyard. So I just think it does a little bit more. It hits more. It's going to hit more decks, and I think people will favor that more than Leyline or Rest in Peace in this next season.
Okay.
So I think that's one of my cards that I think is going to see more play. I want to say Collected Company might see more play. We haven't seen any.
That might be possible. You know, if we get humans, I think especially, maybe people will try something else out. I think there's some good small deck. Like small creature decks may be coming up, and right now it's mostly been, Bant Spirits is the only one that's been able to play it because they're the only one with the right colors that work out.
So I'm thinking that's one of my long shots, but I think that it'll be a good card, better than it has been, I should say.
Okay.
Any other cards you think might have a chance to break out in this format? So I think you did about four.
Yeah, I did a couple there. You know, maybe say Thalia's Lieutenant if I do think that humans has legs, which it might. I'm on it right now.
My last pick would be Luminous Broodmoth. I think someone's going to break that.
Okay.
So I'm hoping somebody breaks that. I'd like to see a creature-based combo deck. Yeah, we have spell-based combo decks, like Lotus Breach. But like something that, you just go through all your creatures, or you do like an infinite, was it a modern deck or legacy deck? You just get the infinite life or infinite damage.
Oh, like a Devoted Druid or
something like that. Yeah. It'd be nice to have something like that in Pioneer. So,
okay.
But otherwise, that's my list. I think I care about
good.
Five.
I think I'm going to say I'm about there. If you guys think there's anything that's broken, or if you think there's any deck lists we need to see, we're always looking for new Pioneer deck lists. I'm always scouring Twitter. So you can tweet us directly. I'm at MTG Pioneer. Or if you are tweeting the MTG Pioneer hashtag, I'm probably watching it. So either way works well for me. But you can also find our Discord. You can find our The First Pioneers Discord there.
Mm-hmm.
You can find our Reddit. You can find our Facebook groups. A lot of good ways to contact us. And we love to hear from you. We had a shout-out this week, so thank you guys for listening, for appreciating us. We always we love our listeners. So anything you guys want to tell us, we're happy to hear from you.
Yes, please join our journey as we explore the formats.
Yes.
If you guys want to contact me, you can find me on Twitter at YoShwanky. Recently, I've been posting about nothing except for Animal Crossing, and I apologize for that. You can find me on Twitter at YoShwenky, YoShwenky, and you can also find me on my website at www.thejapanhobbyist.com.
All right, that's going to bring us to the end of our show, guys. Thank you so much. We are the First Pioneers Podcast. We are a podcast all about the Pioneer format. Keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. And we are signing off.